At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he gave a sermon called the Sermon on the Mount that laid out his vision for his ministry for the world. Annually, the president gives a State of the Union address. Today, I'm kind of doing something along these lines. I've been here as your pastor for a few months, and I would like to share what I see we need to be about over the next year. And between today's bulletin letter that I've asked you to take home a bulletin and read, and today's homily, I want to lay out my vision for the parish, both long-term and short-term. You know this is a Franciscan parish, right? And so our heritage goes back 800 years ago when St. Francis, a story comes to mind. St. Francis was praying in a small chapel called San Damiano. And he looked up at the crucifix and the lips on Jesus moved and he heard the voice, "Francis, go rebuild my church," which you can see is falling in ruins. And so in obedience, St. Francis gathers some rocks and some mortar and starts fixing the church physically. And he fixed two more churches after that. It only wasn't until later that he realized God was calling him to build up the church, the people of God. And sure enough, Francis, the Franciscan, St. Clare, and their poor Clares rebuilt, reformed the Catholic Church in his day and brought peace to a war-torn Italy and Europe. But that building of a church wasn't a mistake. It was only a first step on the building of the church, the people of God, because it became that first church that he rebuilt, the home of the Franciscans, the early Franciscans, and of St. Clare and her sisters. This church is named Our Lady of Guadalupe, right? And I know you know the story, but there is no more miraculous story other than Jesus and the Incarnation in the history of our church. Mary appears to Juan Diego in modern-day Mexico, and she says, "I want you to build me a church." He goes and tells the bishop, and the bishop doesn't believe him, of course. And so between several trips back and forth, Mary actually gives Juan Diego the roses, Castilian roses that only grow in Spain, that were also growing in the area out of season because it was wintertime. And he puts the roses that the bishop had actually asked for in prayer as a sign whether this apparition was real. He puts the roses in his tilma and goes and empties out his tilma for the bishop. And not only do the roses fall out, which was, again, the answer to the bishop's prayer, but this miraculous image. This image has contained in it, in Aztec culture language and symbols, entire catechesis of our faith. It teaches that although the Aztec people were doing human sacrifice and worshiping the sun god, it teaches that the true Son of God is Jesus, Mary's child, and he sacrificed himself for you so that you may live. And so that first church, built then by Juan Diego and the bishop, allowed millions of people to come to see this image, and Juan Diego explained then the catechesis to them, and over the next 10 years, between 8 and 10 million people converted to Catholicism. For that building of church, first step was building a physical church. I've been here now for a few months as your pastor, and I've been sent here and I've come here to likewise, in the same spirit, build the church, the people of God. But I also recognize that we also must build buildings as a first step on that bigger building of the people of God. I am really blessed to have come here, surrounded by so many dedicated people and such great faith. Our Catholic school, for example, is an excellent school. Most recently, under the leadership of our principal, Mrs. April Buter, our school has grown from 160 students in 2012 to 232 students today. And if you count our preschool that's been added over the last 6 years, a total of 262 students, a 60% growth. An excellent Catholic school is the best way to hand on our faith to the next generation and the best way for our children to learn positive values that will last a lifetime. The mission of forming our children in the faith is all of our responsibility, and it's a sharing in the ministry of Jesus. As I walk around our school, as I see the staff teaching, as I see the kids learning, as I talk to the kids and see their respect and their gratitude and their joy of the school, but also as I talk to them about their faith, we have an excellent school. Even I can recognize that. And we can all be very proud of our school. Our church is very blessed with many young families attending Mass and our religious education programs. Our confirmation program is the biggest it's been this year. It's the biggest it's been. It's 120 candidates for confirmation. It's led by Tom Bauman and a team of 12 volunteer teachers and 20 student peer leaders, confirmation students who've returned to help out. Our religious education program under the direction of Teresa Avila has many, and with many volunteers assisting her, serves more than 120 families. It's a family-based program. And so that translates to over 230 students or children. Both these programs have grown significantly over the last 6 months. And so we have much to be proud of. But it also seems to me that as these programs have expanded, other ministries get squeezed for space. This church used to have a bereavement ministry that offered receptions in the hall after funerals. Our church used to provide senior programs and lunches in the hall during the day. Ministries such as these and more have no space. In a short time I've been here, I've already been approached by people who wish to begin new ministries. For example, a support group for caregivers, a family ministry, a social justice group, a Bible study. And these are great. However, I'm hesitant to approve these efforts, knowing our space is limited. Just last Monday night, we had 24 adults show up for the prayer workshop that I spontaneously offered during a homily, only to find out that the night I chose to do it, there was choir practice in here, the hall was being used for yoga. 24 of us went over to the Friary Chapel, and we squeezed in there, and it was beautiful. But some of us, we didn't even have enough chairs. Three chairs had two adults sitting on each of them. I could offer more examples of why our growing church needs more space, but I think you get the idea. In order to build the people of God, we need to build the physical church to have more space. This current capital campaign begun under Father Joe's leadership to add physical space to our church is a good program. I embrace this capital campaign. I've been here long enough now and investigated it to know and believe that it's necessary, but not as an end, as a step in the greater building of what we need to be about, building church, the body of Christ. As Catholics, it's all of our responsibility to participate in the ministry of Jesus in building the church, both physically and spiritually. So, I would like to talk a little bit about the specifics. You know, I think, what the proposed plan is, but I need to make it clear. The plan is to add a second floor outside the school and the church, and it adds office space, it adds a STEM lab, science, technology, engineering, and math. It adds a multi-purpose room that will be used by the school for arts and music, and then shared with the church after school hours, and then a gathering space that is the entrance to the multi-purpose room right outside that door. This space really helps both the school and the church. And this expansion is not a new idea. It was recognized and written in our 5-year plan and recognized by the two previous pastors, both Father Joe and Father Ray. And That plan, as you know, has been written 5 years ago now. And so this particular expansion is foreseen and much needed at this time. What does the school gain? The school gains a lot, right? The office space, the meeting space, the school gains the STEM lab, because our students, although they're receiving an excellent education, an excellent Catholic education, are being prepared to be leaders in the world. And so they must go to the quality high schools, quality colleges, and take positions of leadership in throughout our world and our sector. They need a complete education. And especially in Southern California, where the high tech changes so quickly and is so important, the STEM lab, science, technology, engineering, and math, so important. Also, the arts and the music, the school gains, and it's an important thing for our growing school because the area in which we compete, other schools are so excellent. And so we've done a great job, but in order to keep the momentum of our school going, this project is needed. But our church, what does our church gain? And many have actually asked that question. Let me focus also on this. As the school expanded and we added the preschools over the last 6 years, the church office space had to move to a smaller area, and the church and the school took over the church office space. And so where the school offices are now, the new building will add office space so that the church can reclaim this almost 1,500 square feet of space that's being used right just this side of our building, right other side of the school. That's enough room for between 3 and 6 dedicated rooms for ministry, available day and night, weekdays and evenings. That's really important for our church. Also, the church gains shared use of the multipurpose room and the gathering area. And so outside after Mass, before Mass, church can gather. You can have more ministry and religious education programs and events in the multipurpose room. And so this is important. And even that, the church gains still more. The hall will become more available because the music program moves over there. And so if we needed to, we could do things during the day from the church for our seniors, for our funerals. The list goes on, right? Oftentimes I see funerals or baptisms or weddings, and they've got no space after the celebrations. People are in the streets. Gathering space would help that overflow problem. And all this addition doesn't lose any parking because it's all in the second floor. And so, what's the schedule of the program, and where do we stand? Our schedule is to break ground and begin construction the first day of summer vacation this coming summer, June 15th, 2019, at 8 a.m. En punto. It's important that we meet that date. We really had planned and hoped to have begun this summer. We didn't make that. Every year that goes by, the cost only goes up, and the momentum of this campaign is harder to keep up. Our architect and our project manager believe the schedule is possible, and we are on schedule. We're currently working with the city to receive permits and working with the diocese to get final approval to go ahead and make final design documents. But in order to get final approval from the diocese, we have to show that we have our funding in place. The project, the estimated cost, and it's a little high because it's on the second floor so as to give us more parking or keep our parking, the estimated cost of the project is $3 million. We've already raised a lot. We have $850,000 in pledges and $430,000 of money collected on those pledges. So I thank you for that. That's a lot. There's also more good news. We've had a building fund over the years. The building fund has, due to your donations and your hard work, $900,000 in it. And so we are considerably toward enough towards our goal, but we still need to do a little bit more. And in order to stay on schedule to break ground this summer, we need to raise $465,000 in cash and $1.2 million still in pledges, pledged over the next 5 years. And we need to do that by February 1st this next year. So again, we've come a long way, I thank you. But we have $465,000 in cash more to gain or raise, and $1.2 million in pledges in order to stay on schedule to break ground this summer. I thank everyone for all they've done so far in this campaign. If you've made a pledge, and if you're continuing that, I thank you very much. We need your continued support. If you've completed a pledge or a one-time donation, thank you very, very much. But maybe some of you have not yet participated. I know it's hard to hear asking for a lot of money. I know it's hard to hear because we've already rebuilt a church and a friary, and there's always more people asking for help. So I took the time to really investigate this and wait before I talk to decide whether it's really necessary, if it's really good. And it is. I believe this is important, and it can be a very good next step of our church, a very uniting project in which we can all come together and work on something that is truly necessary for the bigger picture, building up the people of God. So in your pews, I'd like to, people on the end, there's two cards. The first one I really want you to look at is the biggest one. And if the people on the end can pass those down, it's the pledge card. And again, I know some of you may have pledged. But what I'm asking is everyone to look at this. Don't need to do anything today other than take it home. Take it home and prayerfully talk to your family and pray about what it is you could do at this time. On the back, there's a table of suggested giving. If every family in the parish chose one of those lines, we would make our goal. But I know everyone has different levels of ability to give at this time. And so I just prayerfully or ask and trust that you will prayerfully discern whatever it is you can do. And so I'm asking to take that home, pray on it, bring it back. You can put it in the collection next week or weeks coming. And starting next week, we'll have special envelopes in the pews also for you to donate for this campaign at every Mass. You can also donate online. Sometimes that's even the way I prefer, get my mileage points on my credit card. You can pledge online. You can learn a lot more about this campaign through our website. And there's information on the pledge card. I know it's been a little long. Thank you for your time. But allow me just a few more minutes to conclude. I didn't come to this church to raise money and to build buildings. And I'm sure you don't come to this church to give money and build buildings. But I, as my opening paragraphs show, building of the church, the people of God, sometimes does require a building of a building. It's a long process. My vision for our church is that we be a community, both school and church, united, and that we be on fire with spreading the faith and bringing people to Jesus to other people, right? My experience as pastor so far, and also as parish priest, I don't want to maintain an institution. The church needs leaders that lead like Jesus led. And here's how he led. It wasn't rocket science. He called disciples to himself. He spent time with them. He taught them. They experienced him and learned about God our Father, and then he sent them. I see our church as a church that builds disciples of Jesus, that invites people in, helps them have an encounter with the living and risen Jesus, a spark in their hearts that makes them hungry to learn more through our programs like Faith Share, Bible study, teachings, through our liturgies, through encouraging personal prayer, through group prayer. That faith deepens, And then each of us as people of prayer and true disciples of Jesus discern our gifts and talents and how God's calling us to build the church in the church and in the world. This is where ministries come from. And this building might help some of those. But the bigger building I'm after and I see is the building of the people of God. Will you join me in that mission? If you will, there's also a prayer card in your pews. A smaller prayer card. And I ask everyone to pass those out right now and to take that prayer card home and pray for the growth of our church, the building of the people of God, of which this physical building is just one step. And so, please, prayerfully consider the pledge cards. As the year-end approaches and you do year-end giving, consider us. Check your corporations and places of work for matching fund programs. Try to help us as much as God calls you to do in this campaign. But also, let's pray for our church. And so, in lieu of the creed, and as the beginning of our prayers of the faithful, let us stand. And would you join me together in saying this prayer that I will lead. Almighty God, we praise you and we thank you because you so loved the world that you sent your only begotten Son to save us. We adore you, Lord Jesus Christ, here and in all your churches throughout the world. And we bless you because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. You called disciples and taught them, and then sent them to share in your ministry of salvation. We ask you to build up this church, the physical and the spiritual, the buildings and the people of God. May our capital campaign be a successful first step in a greater growth of Our Lady of Guadalupe Church. May we all become more committed disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and call others to know, love, and serve you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Use us to build your kingdom and to share in your ministry of salvation. Saint Francis of Assisi, pray for us. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.